there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Castle. I am your conspiracy asshole. Primetime 99, Alex Stein on the grind all the time, and we got a very special guest to help us unplug from the fake matrix of lies. We got a wild child with us today. We got a hot potato. You're not gonna be able to handle him without your gloves. You're gonna need your kitty protection because this is some adult topics, folks. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to try to really dive deep into the pineal gland because we're going to talk about some serious occultic, satanic, ritualistic abuse and some stuff and terminology that you may have never heard before and stuff that can be shocking and disturbing to most people. So I just want to say get your mind right. And with no further ado, I want to welcome our very special guest, the one, the only, the author coming here to talk about his very new book. It is The Global Death Cult by William Ramsey. Ladies and gentlemen, William Ramsey, welcome to the Conspiracy Castle. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Alex.
Yes, it is such a pleasure. A man like yourself that has done so much research. How have you not gone down the rabbit hole and gone crazy yet? That's my first question.
I think I already did that and then came out the other side, so... there's a lot of stuff to research there. That's for sure.
Okay, and so basically, what turned me on to you is I just did a quick Google search, and I saw a lot of the books that you've written about. And for me, I was even saying I was starting it with this. Aleister Crowley to me is one of the most important because like people don't realize he figures into space. He figures into a lot of weird stuff, Scientology. Like people don't realize, you know, Hollywood. How much he's influenced at least our generation, our parents' boomer generation, your generation. Like he's this figure that not a lot of people know about, and he's pretty messed up guy. And one story that sticks out with me is that, and you know more, but this story always disturbs me the most, is that supposedly he would do like a party trick where he'd go to like a party, they'd be at like some Hollywood party, and he'd find the person with the worst breath, and he'd have him spit in his mouth. And he would do it just because he loved like germs and being nasty. And so tell me, is that true? Or have you heard stories like that? What have you heard? And tell us a little.
I haven't heard that story, but I have heard stories of him going to parties in New York City with mescaline and overdosing people and generally just acting like a real jerk is a one way to put it. But he definitely mixed around with a lot of the celebrities of that era when he was in the U.S. for sure, and traveled through L.A. But yeah, his influence I think is much more profound than people think, at least if they're attached to the corporate media. But in my book Children of the Beast, I tried to detail all the stuff that came after Crowley, such as Leary, the 60s, Aldous Huxley, and so many bands and things like that. So yeah, very influential. And then 9/11, which I covered in my book, which I published in 2010, it was Prophet of Evil, which shows that Crowley's numerology is in the events of 9/11.
Wow. I just talked to Chris Roberts about, you know, the occulticism and the numbers and numerology of 9/11. But what is the connection with Aleister Crowley and 9/11 real quick? I know that's probably deep, but.
Well, his kind of main number and the number kind of the occult milieu that he came to grow up in or really realizes occult dreams in the late 19th century, 11 was their number. So the 11 is the number of magic. So it's really a prime number, but it's also the number of the new world order in their system because it's the pentagram and hexagram, which are 5 and 6 coming together. So 11, and it's mentioned prominently in probably Crowley's most important or famous book, which is Book of the Law. The 11 is my number, and those of them who are of us is what it states in the Book of the Law. And so that number, it comes into 9/11, right? It's 9/11.
Obviously, 11. Yeah. So, right. But I didn't realize the mysticism of 11. That's a big time. That's the number of magic, right? Is 11. Wow. Right.
And so you'll see that in Harry Potter, for example, is a perfect example because his name itself is a 5 and a 6, right? Harry Potter comes together as 11. His wand, probably the most famous movie series and book series in world history, is 11 inches long. So you see that same pattern, the same numerical pattern.
I wish my wand was 11 inches long. God almighty. I'm jealous. Okay.
But that's not it. There's more occult kind of numerology. So Crowley was a person who believed in the Kabbalah. Certain segments of the Kabbalah is known as gematria, where you can transliterate words into a numerical value. So he transliterated 2 really core doctrines in his religion of Thelema, or agape, and that transliterates to 93 in Kabbalah. And then the other is will, or Thelema, which also comes to 93. So you see plane 93 in the event. And then 77 is the number of Babylon, but it's kind of a different spelling. It's B-A-B-A-L-O-N. But in his theology, you're supposed to have the beast, which Crowley is the beast, and Babylon conjoined together. And so Babylon is very important. So 77. And then 175 in Crowley's system is, which god do you adore? It's a ritual, but it's supposed to be contained, this god that you adore. So you can see this theme of adoration of some god in the plane 175. And so, I mean, the whole thing was ritual. And you can get into the Twin Towers, or really in 11, up against the sky.
There is. Wait. But one thing you said something about the 93 and the connection with Kabbalah. How much of Aleister Crowley comes out of Jewish mysticism and all that stuff?
Well, that's a good question. A lot. A lot of Kabbalah and the numerological system actually kind of goes back into Old Greek, which you can determine the universe through mathematics. So Crowley kind of adhered to that idea. But he definitely referenced the Kabbalah, and he was part of a transliterated a book on the Kabbalah from Eliphas Levi.
Say that again. What did Aleister Crowley have?
Well, I can't remember the title of the book, but there was this person who Crowley considered his most influential source.
His mentee was Eliphas Levi. He was the mentor. He was the mentee or whatever.
Well, it's more than that, because Eliphas Levi wrote kind of Secret of the Mysteries, and he put all of this. He was an ex-Catholic priest. But he died in 1875, which was when Crowley was born. So Crowley didn't only have an ideological affinity, he thought he was the resurrection of Eliphas Levi and writes about that.
Wow. So, but and they say he conjured a djinn. I almost and am I saying that right?
Right. Yeah. No, but there's a lot of stories of Crowley communicating with spirits in his biography and in his life, all the way from Boleskine Manor when he did rituals there, pretty much to the end. He was always trying to communicate with people, and he had all these rituals. He had the Jurensis working, the Alamantra working, where, and that was in New York City. It's actually in Washington Square. People are familiar with the New York, but Manhattan kind of geography. But he was there. But that was where he drew in his encyclopedia. He drew the kind of what we know as a gray alien. So he drew that in 1918. In my mind, in my understanding, that's the first real reference to an alien. But he wouldn't have called that a UFO. But to him, that was a discarnate other extra dimensional being. But you can see that drawing. You can actually just pull it up.
Yeah,
I've
seen it. Yeah, I've seen that picture. You know, it's like basically the alien they use in all pop culture. It's basically like the same picture. Hey, well, how does that connect? How does, like, the Kabbalah and all that stuff connect with, like, and you might not be the right authority on this, but you look at, like, the Bible. I'm not a Bible expert at all. And you look at, they're like, in, what is it, Jeremiah 15, where it's been taken, and they say you shouldn't cut down a tree and, like, adorn it with, you know, gold and silver. So it kind of basically says, like, Christmas is like a pagan root. You know, so it's something, like, we make okay. What other satanic stuff is like that, that's kind of has, like, that we think is normal, that's satanic in theory?
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
From the occult, well, that's a big question. I don't,
yeah, that's
I don't,
what I'm saying. That's a hard question.
I mean, you can go back and look at so many of your films and things like that that have an occult under. I mean, Harry Potter is a perfect example. 2001 A Space Odyssey, the monolith is 11 feet tall. So people look at that as a mystery. But if you're a Mason or you are into Western esotericism, you kind of know what the real meaning was. And people who are not initiated would kind of look at this as a mysterious, unknown symbol. And I think that's kind of the commonality of, and that's the power of, in part, of the occult, is these ideas are occulted. They're being de-occulted by more researchers, not just me, but there's all kinds of occult ideas that we're swimming in through the day, which, you know, would take 10 years
forever.
To kind of unpack.
I know.
So
there's
many movies and people.
There's so much hidden stuff. Okay, well, explain this then. My question is the global death cult in your book. Explain what's the organizational structure, in your opinion. I know you don't know, but where does it start? Does it start from the secret societies of the 13 families of the Illuminati, or in your opinion? I mean, you know what I'm saying. Where do you go, and where do you start off in the organization? I guess you'd say the organizational.
Well,
tree.
I think it's tough to unpack, but if you want to, I mean, I do think that a lot of these elite families are kind of eyes wide shut families, particularly the Rockefellers, which the Bushes are kind of like the front men for, and 9/11 really is kind of centered around a lot of Rockefeller things. I mean, the World Trade Center was financed by
David and Nelson is the names of the building. They called it David and Nelson, and they both saw him fall down. I mean, so the connection with the Rockefeller is insane.
No, it's really crazy. And both of those buildings are 110 stories, so there's an 11, you know, so they're divided up into three segments. So it's kind of like a symbol, and the whole thing is like a temple. The World Trade Center had all kinds of things, and you can, I mean, a perfect example is the spherical caryatid, which is featured in Fight Club. In 1999, that movie came out. 2 years later, there it is at the very center of this epochal event that all of us lived through. I mean, 9/11 is just a massive world-changing event.
And you remember how intense that scene was in Fight Club?
Yeah, I remember Fight Club very well. I mean, you want to talk about the occult that you're being subjected to. The deeper underpinnings of Fight Club are incredible. It's a monastic order. There's smiley faces in there, which is something used by a lot of these occultists. There's all kinds of hand signs Brad Pitt is making. There's all kinds of deep reference. Palahniuk knows a lot, the guy who wrote that, but it was also, I can't remember the director offhand, but he has.
That's some big director. The guy that directed that, I forget who directed Fight Club, is like one of the biggest directors ever.
Right, and I think that he directed House of Cards too, right?
David Fincher. Yes, he does all. Right. He does all those Gone Girl, Seven. Man, he did Seven, dude. Just think about the movie Seven. How intense that was. I saw that as a kid. That was so traumatic about the seven deadly sins. The person eating till they exploded. I mean, that scene. Just to even have the thought to produce that scene. And I'm not calling them dark because, to be honest, you've looked at all this satanic ritualistic abuse and some of their ideas. You've thought some dark thoughts. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. And so I'm not saying inherently David Fincher's a bad person, but to be able to recreate that art, you have to be pretty obsessed with it. You have to have a real deep knowledge of it, not just this kind of surface knowledge of it.
Well, he had my understanding is his dad was in Intel, so he has a kind of an Intel pedigree is my understanding. But, yeah, a lot, you can unpack a lot of his works and see the occultism in there. Occult meanings. Very important concepts. But Fight Club's off the charts, man. If you really unpack that whole movie, because at the very end of Fight Club, if you remember, they do an explosion in the background, and what goes down in the background, it's the Twin Towers of LA. So they're foreshadowing 9/11 throughout that entire movie. So those two towers that go down, if you watch the very end of Fight Club, when
that scene blew me away. Yeah, when they go and they're watching from the other building, I just have never seen an explosion even on film like that.
Yeah, that's foreshadowing 9/11. And those buildings are actually this kind of illumined center here of two triangular buildings. I think it's 1920. Avenue of the Stars here in L.A. So it was very clever, but it's definitely a foreshadowing of 9/11, 2001.
So William, you're in Los Angeles. You're in the belly of the beast. You remind me of Dave McGowan. So you have to be a Dave McGowan fan if you're in California.
Well, I wasn't only a Dave McGowan fan. I knew Dave McGowan, and I have a signed copy of his Weird Scenes book. I went to his book signing at Book Soup before he passed away. So I was friends. Yeah, I knew.
Yeah,
Dave.
You met him. You're like me. We're friends. Right. You're into the scene with him. That's cool. So tell me, you had to get a lot of your inspiration because Dave McGowan, the way he presented it was cool. California cool. It's not all like the world's gonna end. He was, he's real laid back. So if you're a Dave fan, you have to know the moon landing's a joke, right?
Right. Yeah. I think the moon doggy, wagging the moon doggy, is the best resource for doubters out there. Maybe some of these other documentaries, but he's done great work. His work will stand the test of time,
no doubt.
Program to Kill, Weird Scenes, and a lot of his other work that a lot of people aren't exposed to. He did a great job on the Lincoln assassination and all this conspiracies and stuff underneath that. So he was way ahead of his time, and he was one of the few guys, I think it was him and Bill Cooper, were one of the few people that I knew that on 9/11/2001 they knew that it was an inside job.
I wasn't listening to Dave McGowan on 2001. So you're telling me, see, Will, I love this going back because now, see, I basically woke up 2015, 2016. I mean, I was still kind of asleep in 2016, I really didn't wake up, honest to God, until I remember the moment I woke up and realized all the news is fake is the day of the election when Hillary and Trump, they said Hillary 99.9%, the New York Times said that. And in my mind, you heard the lead up to the media. They always said, oh, Hillary's going to win the landslide. And then Trump crushed her. And dude, that was the last thing. I was like, oh my God, they'll say whatever to influence us. Like, I thought there was maybe a shred of credibility, And after that, I was like, oh shit, everything's fake. Literally, they will literally say anything.
Yeah, it's the mighty Wolitzer. It's all fake. Almost all corporate news is trash.
So, it's all fake. I mean, if they tell you something real, they're telling you that real thing to influence you in some sort of, thing. And if they only use truth to use this and make their fake shit real, I mean.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's really insane. So, what do you think's going on? Explain the trajectory of society right now and the global death cult that we can't really fight. What are your, seriously.
It's not great.
I know, it's not great. And we don't want to be nihilists, so what do you think?
Right. Well, that's what this book is about, is nihilism. And I think that these people want kind of a post-apocalyptic world that they rule over. That's really kind of their acceleration towards that. And that's kind of one of the themes that's in this book. But the real theme is really about these two groups, Order of Nine Angles and Adam Waffen, which is a very far right group in the United States that really is very recent. 2015 out of Tampa, Florida was when it started. But I was tracing this ideology that came out of the UK, which is Satanism and is occultism, and how it morphed, grew, and ended up in the United States and is really still around here today. And that's really what my book is about. Now, if you want to talk about outside of the book, the global death cult, one of the main themes of my book.
Well, I want to talk about the Order of Nine Angles. And what's the connection with Michael Aquino? Because he's one of the most famous Satanists there was. And, you know, he was the highest guy in the military. So kind of tell the people at home that connection.
Well, I think one chapter of my book is about the satanic letters of Stephen Brown. He was probably a pseudonym. But what it is a series of letters from somebody from the Order of Nine Angles communicating with members of the Temple of Set, including Michael Aquino, who I have like a photocopy of his signature in this.
Well, didn't Order of Nine Angles come out of Temple of Set?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if they were legitimately connected, but they came out of their ideology. Yeah. So I think that Order of Nine Angles.
We're dealing with satanic cults. You know, it's all loosely. I mean, these are like fraternities that don't have a structure. They want to be connected with each other, but so they kind of have to play whatever. But okay, sorry.
That's a good point. No, you make an excellent point, because I think that one chapter in my book shows these guys are in communication even before the internet. So they're sending missives and letters and correspondence. They know each other. They know their fellow friends. They know people who are involved in the Illuminates of Thanateros. So all this heavy duty underground occultism is there. But I think that what this Order of Nine Angles, they intentionally distinguish themselves from Crowley, Aquino, and LaVey in that their attitude towards culling, which is their view of human sacrifice.
That's what made them different, is they were into the murder and sacrifice
of children. That's what their central, I think that's what their ideology distinguishes themselves from these other groups who don't have that view that's that obvious. So maybe the Temple of Set is involved in all kinds of
LARP. They like to be edgelords, even though they go over the edge in certain ceremonies. Because they like to scare you into it. They like to make you think you like put you in a blindfold and make you think you're on the ledge of something, and it's a 1 foot tall ledge, you know, and they push you off.
Well, they're making excellent points, because this guy from the ONA is saying the same thing towards the Temple of Set, is that you're all posers, basically.
And really?
We're the real deal. And I don't think this group is that big, but I think that their ideas are very serious. So, and really, if you read through my book, you'll see some of the criminal actions that have taken place by people who are affiliated with the ONA. Murders, attempted murders, infiltration of the government, terrorism, attempted terrorism. So really hardcore stuff, going back to like my post-apocalyptic accelerationist theme. And so it's really dangerous. I really recommend people read this just to be careful of this group, because some of these people who got murdered had no idea the level of lethality they were dealing with, assuming somebody reads it and believes it, right? So it could be like for any ideology, but if somebody takes
it's
this
rumor
ideology,
in your window. I mean, we have to be honest, because we don't have footage of it, but we're hearing this from other people. You know, this. I mean, am I saying that incorrectly?
What do you, say that again?
Like, I mean, where are you getting this knowledge? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I know you can read about it, but I'm saying, how do you know that these people, they murder more? So they're talking shit. They're like saying, oh, we're the real killers at the Order of Nine Angles, and you Temple of Sets are posers. Well, and this is our proof? Because then they could go to jail, you know? Like, what?
Right, well, there are people who are going to jail, and there are people who are in jail right now for murders. And if you read through the book, they haven't even been tried yet. There's two. One guy's name is William von Nudigem, who snuck up on a guy, and there's actually CCTV video of him stabbing and slitting his throat. And then another guy in California, his name was Woodward, who took some young kid out and stabbed him 20 times and buried him in a...
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In a shallow grave in a park in Orange County. So those are real cases that have really happened that have made.
That's fairly recent.
Yeah, the William Von Neutigen was 2020, and I think the Woodward murder was 2018 or 2019.
And this is an order of nine angles satanic murder?
Well, the William Von Neutigen probably was, in my opinion, inspired by the Order of Nine Angles, yeah.
Wow. So these kids are still LARPing and doing this stuff and playing around with this stuff.
Well, I don't think the guys who killed the people were LARPing at all.
They're That's not really live action role playing. That's as far as it goes. But I'm saying, I think a lot of these people, when I say LARP, they want to LARP, and then it's when keeping it real goes wrong. And like they have to keep pushing it. Or you know better than me.
Well, here's the thing. The structure of the group, the ONA, is a septenary seven-step thing. So you go through different grades. Crowley in the OTO is like 11. So this one has seven. And to get and to become an external adept, you have to cull or kill somebody. So it's written into their doctrines of murder. Murder, yeah.
They say if you want to get up here, like the Bloods or Crips gang, basically. They're very similar.
They have similar writings to the mafia and like other gang activity. Yeah, for sure.
Because that just makes you a made man. If you got a murder, that means they have leverage on you, I guess.
Or you're in, right? You're in. You're not getting out. They know that you're it. I mean, there's all kinds of weird introductory things to be in the mafia, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Well, so this is just another secret society that's really kind of, the advent of it is fairly recent. It's really only 1980s, right? So Temple of Sed and some of these other guys came out much earlier. But it's really also interesting because it has some esoteric cult Nazism in too, which my Michael Aquino did as well. He was a psychological operative for the U.S. military while he's heading a huge satanic kind of organization, which is very strange.
That's more than strange. That's improper is what that is.
And have you ever read Mind War, from PSYOP to Mind War?
No, but that's his book about how to run psychological operations on large.
Yeah, but no, it's worse than that, because they're not talking about doing a psychological operation one time and then next month doing a psychological operation the next month. They're talking about total mind war all the time. So you just constantly are making mind war against people. So
but we are under that, aren't we? Under
constant,
yeah. I mean, no question.
But it's important to know how these psychological operations people are thinking, and I also think it's important to know how these guys at the ONA and some of these far right groups really think in the United States, because they have some very dangerous ideas.
Well, why do you put them on the far right? I mean, wouldn't they be? I don't know which side to put them on, but I don't know if you're a satanic worshiper, why they're necessarily a Nazi. You know, I mean.
Well, you have to read the book because there is a huge connection.
There is a huge connection. It sounds like
right, okay. But this ideology comes out of the far right of. This occultism comes out of the far right.
Well, the reason why I say that is because we can't even talk about the situation that's going on now, but a lot of like what's going on in the world now, if you're against the narrative, they consider everybody's a not. You know what I mean? That's the rhetoric. You know, everybody's right. That.
If but that's obviously transparently false. It's obviously nonsense, but this is actual real kind of Nazi.
This really has, yes.
Almost like a reformulated... repackage.
Yeah, because they got to make it look different. I mean, they have to. Yeah, I mean.
Well, they have an evolutionary view. They think that they're the privileged ones. That the rest of the people who aren't like them are not privileged. They're called the mundanes, and you have a different set of rules for the mundanes that you do for occultists or people in the ONA. So, and I mean, it's a lot like Crowley. You said, you know, we got to give the people the quiet wisdom of the cattle. Treat them like cattle. To live off their, you know, being or whatever, and keep them stupid. And the slave shall serve. So that's actually a very common kind of idea within Satanism, is that, you know, people are a human resource, just like a cow.
Wow. I mean, are we not already in the post-apocalypse, basically? I mean, how do we know? What do we have any structure in society? Like, the fabric of society, to me, is so thin. We're just hanging on by, like, we could just crack at any moment.
Anytime. Hey, Civil War, go back and look at the start of the Civil War in this country back in the 19th century. They were people together, but all they had a couple conflicts. They had Harper's Ferry, and then somebody shot, you know, at, what was it? What was the island again?
I don't even remember.
Fort Sumter, and that was it. So
the first shot,
conflicts.
Yeah.
But that's what set everything off. So this country is like sitting on huge drums of explosives, and all it's going to take for people who've had enough is a couple events, and that's it. So,
but this is the thing. America's run by multinational corporations. They're the ones holding us up. But do the globalists, the people around the world, they want to tear down America for their betterment, for whatever reason. They want to watch us burn. But do the multinational corporations that benefit so much from America, don't they want to keep us afloat and running and not crash?
Yeah, I would say so. That's probably the reason it's holding together. Because those same multinational corporations are the one who run the corporate media, right?
They run everything.
Right. It's almost like you're in freaking Rollerball, the original Rollerball, with these cartels.
The CEO of Oreos wants people to be able to buy the fucking Oreos. You know, he doesn't. I mean, and the Coca-Cola guy wants you to be able to drink Coca-Cola no matter if the world's ending or not, you know?
Agreed. But they really just want the money. They don't care if you get sick and die or get cancer or something.
But you know, to that point, then we say that and you look at YouTube. They don't care about the money. They got censored. I'm sure your channel's censored like crazy.
Kicked off. It's just done.
Well, you got 15,000 subs, but on your backup channel, right?
Well, that was the new channel, and the other channel had millions of views. That
exactly.
One that
I mean, do you see? I mean, so that's not about the money. Think about how much money you made them. I bet you didn't get paid jack squat, dude.
Tens of thousands of dollars, man. I'm probably still making the money right now, even the stuff that I have on there. So
100%. But
YouTube is a joke. They're tyrants. So are Facebook and Twitter. So.
So we look at though, but so let's connect that. We got these media companies that are, you know, all tied in with this, you know. Does YouTube want it? This is what I'm saying. Does YouTube necessarily want America to crash? No, right?
I think in part. I mean, they want certain parts of what their ideas and their worldview, they want that to be predominant. And anybody who disagrees with them, if you talk about COVID as being structured as part of like some kind of structured event, which it definitely is.
Everybody knows.
Election was totally fake. 2020 election is total garbage.
We're definitely gonna have to take this off YouTube. It's fine. No, we can say whatever. No, it'll be on Ruffin. We can talk about it now. We can say it's fake. Okay. I'm just gonna take it off the main YouTube channel. You're not allowed to say the election is fake. You're not allowed to say COVID is fake. But that's fine. We can say whatever you want. Everybody knows the narrative is going on. So as soon as it's done, I'll take it off the YouTube. We'll be safe. But yeah, I mean, anyway, I said fuck YouTube, so they'll probably definitely give me a strike for that, theoretically.
YouTube is trash. They treated me so bad. You know, they told me that I was suspended. It took me 4 months to find out that they actually terminated me. So they deliberately were engaging in some kind of psychological warfare thing where I'm like, okay, when's my suspension over? I kept asking them the question. I literally sent them something 50 times. When is my suspension over? Oh, by the way, we terminated you. So they treated me like garbage, like toilet paper, man. Dude, I have nothing but contempt for YouTube.
YouTube sucks. I mean, I've gotten multiple strikes. I've gotten 3 strikes. Like they've been spaced out. And right now I'm back down to a warning. I haven't got a strike in over 90 days. I feel so
They
good.
Want to turn it into like a La La Land, some kind of weird, you know, light-minded, non-critical, strange world where they can just turn you into a piece of like mental blubber. I think that's really what it is. So anybody who has any kind of actual critical thinking or anything, you're off, man, which is great. You can do anything better for yourself than to get off YouTube, Twitter, Facebook permanently. They hate your guts. They hate the average person in America. They wish you were dead, I think.
Of course, for the climate change, because that's why even AOC said recently that she's not going to have kids because of the climate. I heard her say that, and that's
you want to talk about a mind war psyop. That's the biggest crock of baloney in the world. And you can go back and look at Al Gore's terror piece, this mind warp thing. And now, like you said, we're going to be underwater in 10 years. Well, nothing's really changed in the time that he put that out, what, 2004?
They've been saying that since the 70s that it's going to be underwater.
Oh, so
William, my first freshman year at, or my first class at LSU is like a geography class or whatever, Geography 101. Our first assignment was to watch that documentary with Al Gore, Inconvenient Truth. That was like the, in a college major, I went to LSU, major university, like talk about they're all indoctrination. But I'm just saying that. They would have said you. I would have thought I left that class believing. I was like, "Oh shit, the ozone layer's done. Ozone layer's done. It's thin. It was done."
And these guys are all network. Gore and Kerry and Bush. Those were. It was all stage elections. I mean, everything that happened.
This election was the biggest fraud election ever. And I don't even like Trump. I know Trump's as crooked as
it is. You know what? On the left, if you disagree and say it's a fake election, it means you're a Trump lick spittle and a Nazi.
Exactly. You can't even say you, but at least Trump is not a pedophile, in my opinion. But I mean, that doesn't make him a good person. He might be. I'm just saying, to be honest with Trump, he at least was cooler than Joe Biden, who can't even formulate his own sentences. And his wife is up there caddyshacking. You got Kamala Harris, won't even go to the border. And then this, I don't care about any of that. It's the fact that the Mockingbird media is running cover for them, William. And it's disgusting.
Well, no, you make an interesting point. Do you know who really runs the country? Is the media. It's not the politicians. The media actually does dictate everything. And you, that the perfect example is the Trump administration, because they twisted everything that he ever said. They literally had the social media and the media companies kicking him off for making statements about a fake election. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. How do Americans so tolerant of that? That's really the stunner. You think that we're not in a dystopia? Look at how calm, like we're literally in a legal crisis. And look at all these calm people. They just like sit around and suck their thumbs. I mean, it's incredible. Well, like, you're just seeing the
we can't do anything. No, we are sucking our thumbs. I'm up here. I got my asshole clenched because like, I don't want to get, I'm tired of getting banged in it. But what can we do? How can we defeat these global monsters that have all the power? Because like I said, you know, they got those Chinese ballots. You know, they had a bunch of paper ballots. And let's say this is my question. Let me pose a question. Let's say Arizona comes back. Okay, the election was stolen. Then what, bud?
Well, the mass media, the CNN, MSNBC, and Fox will all say they're already probably coming up with crappy propaganda to discount the results of the Arizona audit right now. They're going to say that Nazis polluted it and that it was racist. And I already know the decode, the fake narrative that they're going to come up with. So that's what they'll tell people. I mean, I think it's obvious. When six of those big major counties all stopped the voting, I mean, the counting all at the same time, that's evidence of collusion. And it's an embarrassment that the Supreme Court didn't handle that, which really should be a real question to every American, is why this judicial body did not look at these disputes between the states. And of course, your votes are lessened if there's fraud in another state.
I think it proves that Trump's a crook though, because I don't believe that was an insurrection at all. They walked it in the ropes. That was bullshit. I have a personal friend who's in jail for going up there. But Trump should have bailed all those guys out, given them all pardons. Should have said I should have taken some sort of blame or something. Should have fell on it. I don't know what. I don't know what he could have done. But
there's something weird that happens to the stasis and the lack of really addressing what happened by his administration is really a question. I think it was Byrne has written a book about what was going on in the White House.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And they didn't really take bold action. It was very strange. So I don't know really what's going on, but that
he bitched out. Bold action, dude. He bitched out like a bitch on that.
Right.
Like,
well, I agree. He walked out of the White House with like a dog with the tail between his legs. So everybody who says that he's some kind of literal Hitler.
And you know who he got out of jail was Lil Wayne and all those rappers or whoever. Yeah, I mean, there's a Lil Kodak Black and those guys. And I'm not even mad. Good for them. Get those guys out of jail. But I mean, give me a fucking break. He's getting Jared Kushner's dad out of jail, and that's what he's worried about. And these guys that were literally, say what you want. They're going to say an insurrectionist is a new domestic terrorist. Those guys all loved America. Every single one of those people in that building loved America.
Well, the narrative is that those people were, they always leave out the fact that those people were angry that the election got stolen. So they never even bring that up. That's the narrative. And that's really scary, is that the FBI and a lot of, and the Department of Justice did not look into a lot of this fraud. And right now it's being done by independent parties. It's not even done by the administrative bodies here, which really is, I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's a crisis. And people are just like brain dead. It's basically Aldous Huxley. Everybody's on pharmaceutical drugs or drugs of some sort, and they're just like zombies.
It's Brave New World, 100%.
Yeah, the woke aren't woke. The woke really aren't that woke. And all these people with these presumptions that they're really on the edge, is they're deceiving themselves.
Okay, but Will, what the fuck? Even if we took everybody off the antidepressants, then I mean, they'd probably make America, the world better, but it wouldn't heal anything. I mean,
Those antidepressants it's a fake name. They put you in a fugue state. That's why all those shooters are like on antidepressants, because they're not happy. They're in a zombie state. A fugue state is like, you're not happy or sad. You don't feel anything.
Say that terminology, Evan. A fugue state.
Fugue state is kind of like a state where
I understand what you mean. I just never heard that fugue. F-U-K-U.
F-U-G-E. A fugue state. So it's kind of like a psychological state where you don't feel happiness or sadness. You're just in a literal zombie state. But that's the lie of the antidepressant, is that they're supposedly making you undepressed. You can't feel anything. That's why all the shooters have some kind of antidepressant element to them. A lot of high school shooters and stuff, almost to a T, they're almost all on some kind of pharmaceutical drug. I wouldn't touch pharmaceutical drugs.
No, they're the worst.
You don't know the pharmaceutical companies if you are taking a pharmaceutical drug, man.
That's what I'm trying to say now. We can talk about now with the vaccine, because they're going to take this off YouTube. I mean, obviously, it's a fuddy-duddy bullshit. And people think that, oh, it's free for reason, and oh, they, you know, Big Pharma has our back. How does even all the people that actually believe that, and I understand the majority of people are stupid idiots. Like, I get that. But how do they actually come to think that a for-profit company, America's one of the only countries that can have pharmaceutical commercials or illegal, how can they realize it's a business and you are the product that they are selling?
Right. Well, you can't give people hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and vitamin D or whatever.
No.
You can't give them that because it's too cheap. Do you know that they're handing that out in India in packets? There's a packet with all three of those drugs because they're founding them to be a good prophylactic. But Tony Fauci is not going to promote those because it doesn't put any money into his pocket or his friend's money. Do you know how many billionaires were made from this whole emergency vaccine thing?
The big reason.
There's 9 new billionaires because of that.
Oh,
the
I know.
Government put their money there. Fauci's an old-time player. He goes all the way back to HIV, AIDS, all those kids who died taking, I can't remember which drug.
AZT.
Right, so Fauci is not clean. So, all those emails expose that.
You know why they had to say the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin doesn't work? Because you can't get emergency use authorization if there's any sort of viable cure. That's why. Without that, it would take 7 years to get a vaccine done. But with emergency use authorization, it takes 7 months.
Right. You're probably safer for you to get COVID than take the vaccines, I think, statistically.
No shit. And COVID is just, it's just SARS. It's just sudden acute respiratory syndrome. It's about the same amount of people die every year, the same thing. And they just pump up the numbers with people that die of heart disease. They're mixing. There is some sort of respiratory illness that goes around every year, but the fact 600,000 people died of it is provably false.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that if it's the virus that they show around, somebody put the spike protein and did some nanotechnology to a SARS virus.
You think it's a bioweapon? You do think it was?
I think that based upon my research, somebody screwed up in China was doing gain of function research. And that's why people are getting it. However, I think that a lot of the illness from the virus could be mitigated by these very cheap over-the-counter drugs. Taking vitamin C and vitamin D is probably a great prophylactic just in itself. But like it's called the Zelenko protocol. I think that was the guy from New York who used it. People are using these different protocols to get around this. And so I think that these vaccines were just a big fat pharmaceutical moneymaker.
It's a Hegelian dialectic. It's problem, reaction, solution. The solution was, how do we get everybody to take a mandatory vaccine and charge the government, charge the world for it?
Yeah.
And so they create a reaction with it. They've been trying to do this with SARS, right. Ebola, everything.
Right, but they do that for all drugs, for almost all things. You've got to get some kind of pill or something like that that they can charge you an arm and a leg. So they want the illness. They try to have only one solution. And then they try to milk you for it, or milk the public for it. So it's not like this is just something that happens because of this, whatever happened in COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely gonna have COVID-20, COVID-21. Okay. I mean, it's never gonna stop. So, what do you think though? They always say the agenda is 2030. I believe that this is what I believe is that. In the next 9 years, I think we still got about 9 years left of like some sort of semi-decency in society. But by 2030, there will be some sort of real deal sterilization, a real deal vaccine. You know, I think a lot of this is hit or miss. It's, you know, it's not, it's poison what they're giving people, but it doesn't kill everybody. I mean, a lot of people are getting heart syndrome, but I know people that got it and are fine. So, you know, is it as bad as it could be? Are there magnets sticking to people's arms? I've tested a magnet sticking to people's arms. I'm saying, is there fuddy-duddy stuff going on with this one? Yes. But I don't necessarily think this might be the kill shot, or it doesn't kill you instantly. It kills you slowly. So what do you think is like the trajectory and aim?
I mean, I just don't trust a lot of these people in power. I don't trust the Fauci types who are running the National Institute of Health. So I'm not optimistic. I don't know what they have in store. But a lot of these guys knew that this kind of pandemic was going to, something of this type of thing was going to happen. There's all kinds of statements from Obama and all these guys. And one of the reasons Fauci probably knew it was going to happen is because he was involved in it.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret cane sauce.
Stopping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
He's the one that organized it. Dude, he's the one that did it. I mean, he's been there forever.
It's not funny, but it's bad.
Well, it is funny. It's not funny, but the thing is, we can only laugh about it. And that's kind of what my show, I try to do, is try to laugh at this horrible situation. Because, like, let's go back to what you're talking about. Let's go back to your books. Satanic ritualistic abuse. Well, I'm just saying, SRA, people don't think that exists. You got like Jimmy Savile. It was just like get babies and literally like infants, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds. All ages and kill them, put them out in the ocean, do stuff on boats so they would have no trace.
No, that's Crowley too. I don't know if you know the Crowley reference in one of his books, The Secret, The Diaries of the Great Beast. He mentions raping like a 1 or 2 year old child.
What does he say? He says that he raped a 1 year old child.
So he was in his magical fraternity, the Abbey of Thelema, in Cefalù in Sicily, in Italy, and he kept very detailed records of all of his working. So he would always be writing down what kind of drugs worked, what kind of rituals happened, what were the results of those rituals. And he wrote something about infant rape.
Could you imagine if he had a video camera to film all this shit? Oh my God.
But there's modern equivalents. There's this guy in this band, the something prophets, I forgot. And he went to jail, but he was supposedly an occultist, and he was doing that stuff too. I mean,
fucking freak.
Pedivores or something. Yeah, like this, off the charts, really evil stuff. He should have been put to death, but he's in jail. It's called The Disposable Prophets out of the UK. That was a case that I'm familiar with. And there's been others. I mentioned a lot of stuff in my book, Children of the Beast, of these other kind of Crowley cults that pop up here and there. There's one in the UK. Forgot the guy's name, but yeah, the really nasty stuff. A lot of references to Crowley's work, but
just think
it's there. I mean, you talk about Crowley, there's tons of rituals. He's doing rituals all the time. So
what do you think? Obama's been in a coffin masturbating, and I mean, he's probably done some sort of, I mean, I know you don't know this, but he's had to done some weird ritual. Like, Like, do you think he's in a satanic cult? Do you think he's a Muslim? Or what do you, like, how does that, this is what I'm saying. How does it go from, like, Eyes Wide Shut to being, like, a satanic Aleister Crowley worship party? Because I'm sure they don't all start off Satan worshipers.
No, I don't know. But, I mean, if you look at the Skull and Bones, which Carrie and Bush were in, they're in a tomb. Somebody pees on them, and then they pop out a new man, right?
That's a humiliation ritual, I mean.
So that's a known thing that happens with Skull and Bones. But Obama's a strange person. Like, I think there's missing records of somebody that didn't see him at Columbia for 2 years. Like, people don't remember him being there. And his birth certificate is obviously fake. I mean, it's a total joke. It looks like something that I did.
How could they not? But that's fake too.
Power of mind control. They just tell you you're a lunatic, and why are you saying that? So he was known as Barry Sotero. There's other things, but he's kind of like kind of a new ager, new world order type of person. Did you ever hear stories of him in Man's Country in Chicago?
No. Oh yeah, we got a bunch of blowjobs from Larry Sinclair.
No, he was in part of like a gay bathhouse called Man's Country.
Obama, it seems like he's a little light in the loafers.
He's way light.
Well, he's okay. Way light. Well, what about Joan Rivers saying Michelle's a boy?
Well, she didn't last very long.
No, I know she didn't. See, well, you like to keep it. You kind of stay straight laced. You're trying to play the Dave McGowan. You don't like.
Well,
to
I don't know. Hey.
I know. But tell me this. No. Just meeting you though. You know, you talk about these intense things. I see you. Do you have like a family? Because it seems like you got to be straight laced. Yeah, you do. You got because you see. You know, you got to put on your kind of poker face. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. Do you know that when she went in for her operation, the doctor made their own decision to do an additional treatment on her without authorization, and that's how she died. They were screwing around while she was under.
Yeah, it's fake.
No,
I know that they did that. I'm just saying. Yeah, there's two. That's too suspicious to be believable to me. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
The government kills people all the time. So I'm sorry to say that, but I was in D.C. from '95 to '98. The bodies piled up all the time. I knew Vince Foster case very well.
Look at
Seth Rich. I got the hell out of D.C. So, you know, it's not good. I mean, it's really a new realm. You live in a kind of a country with this pastiche, this, like, you know, God, country, you know, new Zion type of view. But really how it really functions is it's a new Rome. They make money from violence like Rome. They sack other countries. I mean, in my time, we brutalized tons of Panama, Libya, Iraq.
You're
being heavily propagandized, and that's probably what happened in Rome. They probably just BS the people. Oh yeah, we got to go do this.
But what we did to Gaddafi was terrible in Libya. Now it's a slave state. I mean, the destabilization that we do as a country is absurd. But America is just the punching. I mean, we're just like the errand boy. If this is what I'm saying, if they destabilize America, then is there a world bully, or does the world rejoice because the big bad bully's dead?
It doesn't look great for this country. I mean, I'm 52, so I've seen this country change incredibly in those years from a fairly, I don't know, I don't see it holding together. I've never seen these parties so antagonistic towards each other. The whole Trump administration, like, they went after him with total vicious propaganda, mind war propaganda the whole time. It was all nonsense. So what makes you think these guys are telling the truth now?
And they're going to do the same thing to DeSantis. They're going to do the same thing to whoever the Republican.
Sure they will. They're going to just make some stuff up. He's a Russian agent. People will repeat it on MSNBC. And the idiots will believe it. I mean, I live in California. I live in the People's Republic of California. So I talk to people there all the time, hyperventilating about Trump and all this stuff. I'm like, I actually had a conversation with somebody, and I was like, okay, well, let's get rid of Trump and let's put in the vice president. And they, like, almost had a heart attack because they didn't really think it through.
That they would hate Trump Pence, especially because Pence is anti-gay. See, Trump, if they really looked at Trump, and I'm not saying Trump is some savior, but if they had half a brain, they realized Trump is a liberal. He wants to help gay people. He didn't give a shit about those.
He did very non-traditional things for the Republicans, like reaching out to African Americans, which was the first time I'd really seen that, and really trying to kind of transmogrify the Republican Party from an all-white party. So, to his credit, I think. So he tried to do it. I thought a lot of his policies were good. I was not a Trump lickspittle, but I was not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. That would have been a disaster.
What, she has to worship Satan. You look in her leaked emails. She's sacrificing chicken to Moloch. I mean, so do you think she like has an Aleister Crowley book in her and she goes on vacation to Barbados or wherever?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. And I would actually honestly would not be shocked. I know that she's read the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, which is dedicated to Lucifer. She uses Saul Alinsky's tactics all the time. She's constantly lying. She wrote her thesis, if I remember correct, in college
on Saul Alinsky. No.
Yeah. So this is not a good person. And in those emails, there were references to MAP, minor attracted person, which is a new.
When they say MAP, say slow down. I want to give you the stage. Explain what MAP means because they kept on talking about a pizza map. MAP was always in there. So they never told me what a MAP was. A handkerchief. What's a MAP?
Right. Well, in a sophisticated thing, it's like called a neologism. So you make up a new word to replace an old word. But what MAP replaces is pedophile. It's now minor attracted person. So they talk about the MAP and all kinds of code words are in there. But there's actually one email. You can go to WikiLeaks and type in Thelema, which I talked about earlier. And that is in there. Somebody's asking Podesta to do him a Thelema. So he actually kind of uses it in an adjective term, which is kind of strange, but it seems like they have, in my opinion.
What does that mean, though? Do what? Like give me a kid for sex?
No, but it's more of like a Crowley term. So like Thelema is a will, but it's also kind of his religion. So he called his religion Thelema. So it's kind of like the triumph of the will, but this idea of human will as a primacy.
So how did he mean it, though? He said, he wanted him.
Right. Well, you can go look it up. I got to go back and look it. But somebody asked him to do me a favor. But, like, that's the way it came out. But do me a Thelema may be some kind of internal thing. Like, I had to look up what MAP meant, what the acronym MAP meant. And there was one, like you referenced, it's like, I've got a map. Some woman is actually saying, I have a map with a checkerboard and a handkerchief. That's all code words.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That sentence.
It makes sense if you're an insider.
Well, of course. Yeah. I'm saying you can read it 100 times. And I mean,
but the government never really looked into all those connections. They just, they didn't drop the ball. It just shows whoever's in power can dictate how the law is administrated. And there were a couple lawyers who got mixed up in that, all those documents and Comet Pizza and all the occultism there. I mean, there's a ton of stories in those documents. I mean, Podesta is super creepy. And that's an insight into, I mean, you talk about spirit cooking and blood drinking and Abramovich. These are all creepy people. Like, I would not want to have those people in my circle of friends, but those guys were very comfortable having her around.
Well, you know, I just watched an Amazon thing about Borat debunking these conspiracies because, you know, he's pro. And he said that it's anti-Semitic to say that because they accuse Jews are doing blood libels.
Blood rituals. Well, we could get into that story. But it's just a common kind of way to try to debunk. I mean, even Podesta said all those emails were debunked, but those were his emails, right? So this is kind of a way to try to overcome people knowing those emails. And those emails might have had a lot to do with why Trump was elected, because people were like, hey, is this the person who's going to really be in supreme power? Are we going to let them be that way in supreme power in this country and really the world? It would have been a disaster. But
you think there was a good guy, a white hat? You think there's a
Borat
white hat?
Is a total politician. Whatever it is, Baron Sacha Cohen.
He's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the same kind of stuff that we've had to endure for the 4 years, mocking people and belittling. It's just like all Hollywood stuff. It's a total joke. I don't think he's funny, actually.
Well, I think he used to be funny back when I was awake when he did the original Borat. But listen, I actually am excited now because I consider myself a comedian, you know, and I think the comedy's so dead. That somebody's speaking the truth, you know, acting like Dumb and Dumber or whatever, you know, like an Ace Ventura is one of my favorite movies. It could never be made today about a transgender, about the guy, you know, getting tricked by a transgender. That would be so transphobic today. So if we can just go back, if we can just tap into a mindset of comedy not that long ago, I think there's actually a possibility to be successful because the media is going to be so watered down and it's going to be it has to be multi-ethnic instead of funny. And that's going to just take away any quality of actually any mainstream comedy. I'm sure they'll get a hit every once in a while, but 95% of it will be trash.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, that's the whole purpose of comedy is to break those boundaries and be edgy, right? Say things that you wouldn't be able to say in other things, and people then laugh at them. So I think it's part of the whole attack against comedy and comedians right now is just part of the whole thought control, mind control of the communist left. They just don't want to have anybody think anything other than what they think is right, which is antithetical to the principles of the United States, which is free speech and do it to, you know, kind of do your own thing as long as you're not breaking the law or hurting anybody. And that's not the way that it is now. But yeah, I don't think we're in great shape as a country. So I hope everybody makes it through whatever's coming in the future.
Yeah, but what do you think it'll be? Famine? This is what they're saying, is they think it'll be a cyber attack and we won't have our phones. Could you imagine how would society function for a week if we didn't have our cell phones or email or internet? Nobody could stream. People would be fighting each other for DVDs and DVD players at thrift stores, probably on eBay. Well, I mean, and power generators. I'm just saying people would have no entertainment. Yeah, and people would be stuck at home with guns. People would be, I mean, it would be just if they took away the internet. So what do you think the biggest threat is? And I personally think it's a cyber attack. What do you think? The fake cyber attack.
I don't know. I just don't think that really the government's detached itself from the people. And I don't think that's a good thing. So I don't think Joe Biden, however much he really knows, have you heard his New World Order speeches? So I'm not convinced. To me, Trump was an outsider in the kind of oligopoly, and he was from the boroughs in New York, so he wasn't one of these old line families and didn't suck up to him. So for me, that was ideal. But I think that Biden really just owes his whole career to kind of not being that bright and really just going with the flow and being a part of this kind of social, elitism. So
you don't think I think they're going to humiliate Biden. You don't think that? I think they use him as that. Listen, Obama doesn't like him. None of them really like him. So they put him in place knowing they got Hunter's dick pics, knowing they got all this stuff. So they can just release it slowly, the senile guy, and he'll take the blame. And then we'll know no more white old men can run America. We need young AOC. We tried it, and the last one was a creep.
Maybe. I mean, they may pull the rug out from under him. I don't know.
He's not running again. You think he's going to run again?
No way. He barely even ran this time.
Couldn't do that to the poor man. He can't take credit.
It's elder abuse. So I don't know what'll happen.
So who runs the country then, Will? Who's the fucking telling him what to do? William?
I don't know. Kamala's, I guess, going to be the one to run everything for us.
But see, we know they're not. So, like, who do we think is, like, who's in his ear? Like, a Council of Foreign Relations? I know you don't know this, but, like, who's telling Joe Biden? Because Joe Biden's sitting there like, where's my lunch? Where's my turkey?
Right, he doesn't even know, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. The people who surrounded him are probably the people really running the country. And people who aren't even in power are probably the ones really making or helping make a lot of the decisions, the ones who've been in power, like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and some of these other characters that are in the Democratic Party are probably those string pullers. And he's obviously a front man. He cannot think for himself. He does these lids. He goes to sleep. I mean, it gets even worse, dude. He's not in good shape. He should be playing shuffleboard in Palm Springs. He should not be running our country.
He should be having the best life ever. But this is what I'm saying, though, William. Trump, if we really think a president has that much power, he let them railroad him all 4 years of that fake impeachment. He could have shut that down. He didn't shut it. I mean, he acts like he didn't try for optics. He could have shut down the fake pandemic, or not the pandemic. He could have kept stuff open. He could have done a lot more stuff that made him, given him some sort of optics for the right side, but he leaned with the wrong side, like Trump did himself. So I don't know.
I think that he really was an outsider in a good and bad way. Like, he did not have a real good understanding about how to put his own people in these administrative bodies and really get a whole team to work with him to run the government. Most of these people in those political parties have 50, 100, 200 people that if they win, they know they're going to go right into leadership roles in these huge administered bodies like the FBI, CIA, all this stuff. And that Trump didn't seem to have it. He operated it like it was his own office.
So does that mean he didn't do jack shit? And does that mean the president really doesn't have that much power?
Well, it's different. Different who's in power, right?
I know he has power, but, like, really, does he have that much power? Because if he had that much power, shouldn't he have shut all that shit down?
Well, you can get, I mean, there we're getting into kind of like leadership stuff. my opinion that he didn't he didn't do some things right. But if you look at Bush, Cheney, they were in power. They had all their people squad together, and they run their country.
The project
made some crazy decisions, but they people knew that they were in there, and there were old-time Republicans from his dad's engine, you know, political engine. So I think that that's if you want to juxtapose those two together, I think that's there's a lot of different styles there.
You're talking
so
about
I don't think Trump was that great. I mean, I think people who were like, I mean, I think he was patriotic and he definitely knew how to go towards his core audience and definitely talk to them in the way they wanted to be talked to. But I don't think that he was that skilled at, you know, running the country. Certainly didn't have anybody running the media. They just ran over him like a, you know, roadkill for 4 years. So that was, it was weird. Like the new Republicans figured out after Trump got kicked out of office to kind of start their own media. They finally figured it out. Like, oh man, maybe we should start our own social media. But it took him 4 years to kind of figure that out. So I don't think he was that astute as a politician. He was good at popularizing himself and being in the media. I mean, he's in their brains and they were, you know, but I don't think he was that effective, you know, really kept having the reins of all of the vast power of the American government in just all of his hands. I didn't see that happen. And I think when you read into and see what was happening after the election was stolen, after what happened in
November.
It was stolen.
We can say it because we're going to take it off YouTube. We'll be fine on Rockfin, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing that we don't have the ability to use our First Amendment rights. Yeah.
No way. No. If we say election's fake, immediately. I mean, I can go bleep it out, but no, this is immediate. I will, but it'll give me a week.
Well, here's how bad it is that all these companies that are compressing free speech had the benefits of the laissez-faire system of the United States to make all their money. So they aren't passing those constitutional benefits to the average person.
Well, it's like that's
really an example of the evil there.
Well, the stock market, they've never wanted any sort of governmental control until all of a sudden all those stock people dominated the crypto thing. They've never wanted any sort of governmental interference. And all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, maybe the government should actually get involved. It's like, that's how you know it's all fake.
Yeah, it's a shame. So, I mean, and the real thing is that, like, they're the ones dictating what's going on in the government. You can see this communication between Fauci and Zuckerberg. Like, Fauci finds the need to talk to Zuckerberg like he's an important person the other way around. It's pretty incredible that's really the definition of fascism is the, you know, business and government working together. They're literally fascistic. So
they tell us it's
and,
a
I mean,
capital.
It should. Yeah, but that should be totally unethical for Fauci to even be talking to anybody in the business world while he's trying to anticipate and handle what's going to be an epidemic. So yeah, it's unbelievable how that's tolerated. I don't know.
He says that he donated $600,000, didn't want to admit that. Then they find out it's nearly $850,000. I mean, and all that's bullshit. Like, I mean, sure he donates it. Who cares? But that, I mean, it's just all bullshit.
Oh, was that Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg had
About Fauci. I'm saying Rand Paul asked Fauci. Yeah. He said he didn't donate anything. Then he admitted that it was $600,000. Then they actually found out it was actually $850,000 what was donated. So he couldn't even tell the truth when he was telling the lie. It's all that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're all
and that's the scary thing is that there isn't any consequences for these guys. There's no nothing really goes wrong. And Zuckerberg set up this slush fund that spread money around during the election to benefit Biden. Like, what, how is this happening? And I mean, some of those to me look like bribes. Like, I think some of his money ended up at the Secretary of State in Arizona or something like that. Like, how is that not a bribe? Like, what? You can call it giving you funds of money, but why is somebody at a government entity taking money from that goes through different shells that, you know, that comes from Zuckerberg? I don't know.
That's a bribe forever. And supposedly now the government can just say cyber attack and now they can do all this. And I heard this on Alex Jones, which I like Alex Jones, but I heard them. He said this yesterday. I don't listen to him every day, but he said of the pandemic relief money, 50 of I think it was 800 billion, supposedly 400 billion of it was stolen by hackers. And that's because they can say that it's like the 2.1 trillion missing after 9/11. That's why the government wanted all this stuff, because they're the ones that know how to steal it and use it.
It's so true. Such. I mean, that's a good excuse too. Oh, somebody stole it, but you know, they know these things. Oh, somebody, you know, somebody stole the employment fund money from Nigeria. but they may be the guys inside telling the Nigerians how to do it. And that's the way it works. There's all kinds of kickbacks and slush funds and funny business, like Biden's whole business with his son in Ukraine should have disqualified him forever really being in higher office. And that didn't seem to be a problem. And that's really actually what the whole problem of Trump's impeachment, the fake impeachment was, is that he was asking questions about what the Biden family are doing in Ukraine. And his son is just like freaking raging crackhead.
Raging. His dick's all over the internet. Go to GTV. I mean, I've literally seen his erection, the president's son's erection. That doesn't make sense. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's even get worse than that. I mean, I think it was his ex-wife or something said if they were around, if he was
his
around.
Niece. He couldn't be around his niece without. Yeah, he couldn't be around his niece without Joe being there. That's, so it had to be like a family thing. That's
and he's 50. He's a 50-year-old man. So, and I mean, he's really, to me, he's benefited from the largesse of his dad his whole life. And it's probably kind of
He has arrested development. I mean, he's a 12-year-old in his brain. When his mom died is when he died emotionally, probably.
Probably. Have you seen his weird tattoos? Like, he has these tattoos on his back.
Yeah, of the finger legs.
The finger legs, yeah. Strange. I mean, weird choices.
And they're huge. Why would he have a huge finger legs tattoo on his back? Like, it's almost like something is buried in the finger legs. I mean, that's it's weird you say that, because then there's an episode of The Office, like, or one where Jim Carrey's character comes on. He makes his big cameo, and, like, his main joke, in the one episode, Jim Carrey, everyone on The Office, he was always like, oh, I'm going to the Finger Lakes. I'm going to the Finger Lakes. He said the Finger Lakes like 10 times. So there's something weird about the Finger Lakes. I don't know what it is. I know
there's something weird about Jim Carrey, too. Have you ever seen his movie Number 23?
See, I need to see that. I mean, only seen that.
That's totally an occult number, right? 23 of one is 666. That comes out of like Burroughs, Robert Anton Wilson. So it's kind of like a synchronistic occult number. So that 23 is definitely around. And that's probably why it's there. Maybe probably the reason why Jim Carrey was in that movie. Yeah, I've heard weird things about Carrey.
You don't get
Hollywood
that
is super corrupt, man. It's super corrupt.
It is the worst. Okay, well, listen, we've been crushing it. We've been here an hour and 6 minutes. I want to tell the people where they can find you. The link to the in the description, there's a link to not only your newest book, but to your website. Where everybody can find you, William, and I want you to let the people, what do they need to know? Where can they find you next? And, you know, just what do you want to tell the people? What do you want to plug?
Well, all my books, you can buy them if you want signed copies of William Ramsey Investigates. I did one about the occultism of 9/11, published in 2010. I did one about the farce of the West Memphis Three, why they're not innocent and guilty at law. That was another book called Abomination, Crowley's Influence on Culture in Politics as Children of the Beast. And then my most recent book that I just put out in May was Global Death Cult, Order of Nine Angles, Adam Waffen, and the Slaughter of the Innocents, and really about this kind of new occult movement that started 40 years ago, and starting because of the internet, it's kind of permeated some of these really radical groups. So if you want to see that, I also do a podcast, which is William Ramsey Investigates. So I do a lot of interviewing. I try to do some investigative journalism. And then my 5 documentaries are on Vimeo. So I've done 5 documentaries on a variety of different subjects. Smiley Face Killers was one, which is the phenomenon of young men being out late at night and suddenly being found in water without nobody seeing them going swimming or in the water at all. So it's really kind of a creepy true crime phenomenon that's happening, not just in the US, but all over the world, UK, France, Germany.
William, you have so much information. You got to come on. I'm working on a project for the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and we got to come on and do a 9/11 talk.
Be happy to.
We'll
have a lot to say.
Send me the link to your book, or I'll buy it. I'll buy it because I want to support it. But I want to check that out, and then we'll talk all about 9/11 here, like in 2 weeks or a week or two.
Love to. Yeah, I'd be happy to join you.
Okay, we'll do that. And then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for all the YouTube audience, we're going to have to take this off YouTube. But if you want to find this, you can go join my Patreon for $5. You're going to get exclusive content like this with William Ramsey, a big-time author, guys, talking about the occultic, not giving you the bullshit. He came uncensored. I tried to censor him a little bit. I tried to give him the handcuffs. He took them off fast. William's a tough son of a bitch, and I love him for it. But, guys, you're going to get the good content. You're going to get the good shit, as we like to say, as your weed dealer will say, this is the chronic, guys. So remember that, respect that, and please go and support William. Anything else you want to say to the fans out there of yours, William?
No, thanks for having me. It's great to talk with you. We covered a lot of topics, but yeah, go check out my podcast. I have a lot of interesting interviews, true crime, conspiracy, authors and stuff like that, that people might find interesting.
For sure. No, you got a great channel. And I'll put the actually I didn't add the YouTube link, but I will after we are done here. So you guys, and I'll put a clip to this. I'm gonna have to add it up and just post a a clipped up version of this, because like I said, we can't say the election was fake, even though it was Chinese ballot and bullshit. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining us this early afternoon, Friday afternoon. And William, I'll talk to you very soon. We're gonna go over 9/11. So I will talk to you soon. Thank you guys. Peace and good night.